Back here at home now, official U.S. policy on the climate crisis took a big U-turn this week. You heard the news yesterday. President Trump's latest executive order was meant to scrub most of former President Obama's climate change initiatives from just about every corner of the federal government. But while the policies may be disappearing, the reality of climate change is not going away, and the dangers we're facing may have gotten even clearer this week. There's a new study out showing a strong link between a warming atmosphere and a growing wave of extreme weather events around the world. Michael Mann directs the Earth System Science Center at Penn State University and was the lead author on the study. Professor Mann, we tend to think of climate pollution being the driver behind climate change and a warming planet, but now there's evidence of links between climate pollution and extreme weather events, and that has been growing for a while now. How does your new research fill in that picture?
Yeah, so we know that there's a relationship between climate change and certain types of extreme weather events. A warmer planet means more frequent heat waves, more intense heat waves. It also means there's more moisture in the atmosphere, so when it rains, you can get more of it, more flooding, and the drying effect of all that heat gives you worse drought. We know that there is a climate linkage with each of those things. In addition now, what our study shows is there's an extra linkage in that climate change appears to be changing the behavior of the Northern Hemisphere jet stream. The jet stream, you know, is this a ribbon-like pattern of winds in the mid and upper atmosphere that moves storm systems along. And it owes its existence to variations in temperature with latitude. The colder it is at the poles and the warmer it is at the equator, the stronger the jet stream. Well, because the Arctic is really warming up a lot, that decreases the contrast. That decreases the strength of the jet stream. And it turns out, our study shows, that it also creates conditions where the jet stream is likely to get stuck in place for long periods of time. And it's likely to exhibit very large meanders, those north and south wiggles that you see when you look at a weather map. The larger those wiggles, the more extreme the regional weather becomes.
So what are some recent extreme weather events that you kind of connect to climate pollution?
Yes, we're able to show that these conditions that we're talking about existed during a number of very profound recent extreme weather events, the 2015 wildfires, the 2010 Moscow heat wave, and the extreme flooding that they had in Pakistan that year, the 2011 Texas and Oklahoma heat wave and drought that led to a loss of 25% of the cattle in Texas. Each of these events was associated with these conditions.
So if one of the dynamics of this is that these weather patterns just kind of lock themselves in, does this mean the nasty weather patterns are going to stick around longer and longer?
Yeah, well, that's really when we get what we think of as extreme weather events. It isn't so much something happens one day, but that you have a low pressure system that's just stuck in place, continuing to produce rain over the same region for days at a time. Or if that's happening in one region, there's someplace else where the bend in the jet stream is causing very hot conditions. And if those conditions persist, you get extreme drought.
So let's talk about policy for a moment. We're at a big pivot point in U.S. climate policy. The new administration in Washington seems intent on ignoring research like yours. And to be clear, you are in the mainstream. What do you think that will mean for the future of the planet, for the kinds of extreme weather events that you've been analyzing?
Yeah, well, I have to say it's somewhat jarring. The day after our study appears, we hear that the Trump administration basically wants to eradicate the Clean Power Plan that is a major part of our commitment to the rest of the world to lower our carbon emissions. So, you know, what you have here is a situation where the U.S. looks like they are retreating from participation in global efforts to conquer this problem. That obviously makes it more difficult. If it were just the U.S. alone and our emissions and the small difference it would make over, you know, a few years, it wouldn't make that much of a difference. But if it provides an excuse for other countries to start backing out of the treaty, then it becomes more of a threat. Fortunately, we seem to be seeing the opposite. China, if anything, has strengthened their resolve, and they are decommissioning coal-fired power plants. Mm. They're flooding the global market with solar panels. They're doing more now.
The Trump administration is also proposing big cuts to the agencies that carry out or support basic research on climate. How much of the kind of research you do is dependent on federal support, and what would happen if that money dried up?
Yeah, the problem apparently is that they just want to stop research that might be inconvenient to them and the fossil fuel interests that are running the show. So clearly they are trying to simply dampen the message by preventing the messengers from even doing the work to understand climate change. And that is really scary. This harkens back to the days of the Soviet Union, where under the Stalin regime, they tried to criminalize science that didn't support their ideological viewpoints. And it now feels like that's what's happening here in the U.S. There's an effort to stifle research and an effort to defund climate research at NOAA, at EPA, and probably we will see that at the National Science Foundation as well, which is the main funder of basic climate research.
And would that affect you and your research, Michael Mann?
Oh, sure. It would affect every climate scientist that I know in this country.
Michael Mann directs the Earth System Science Center at Penn State University. His new study on the link between human-caused climate change and extreme weather events is out this week in the journal Scientific Reports. Thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you.